kids with them. And so even if you or your kids make noise and stuff, listen, we welcome the sound of kids, and so you will not bother anyone. There are some rocking chairs in the back if at any point someone needs them. And listen, we've shortened the service and also will be somewhat interactive, so to kind of help with that, all right? Wanted to let you know of that. So here he has in talking about the vine and the branches. He mentions over and over about bearing fruit. And it's really important that we understand what it means to bear fruit, or even what fruit is. And so last week, what we did was we described, or at least defined, fruit as the life of the vine. And so when we look at this as this branch is coming off the vine as it's connected, the fruit is what is ultimately comes through the vine and out of the branch. Now, Jesus says that he is the vine and you and I are the branches. And he tells us that if we remain or abide in him, that we will bear much fruit. But apart from him, we can do nothing. And so if this fruit is the life of the vine coming out of it, then the fruit in the life of a believer, you and I, is Jesus. It is Jesus, as we abide in him and walk with him, it is the life of Jesus that is lived out through us. Amen? Do you see that? And so when we understand that, then we'll see that the fruit of the vine is good. I mean, it's really good. It's good to eat. It is eternal. It is life-giving. Excuse me. Now you have to hear me smack in your ear, right? But it is life-giving. And so because of that, we need to understand that the fruit in our life also will be good because it's Jesus and it's eternal. He even says fruit that will last, and it is the fruit that will last that is eternal. And so we need to clearly understand this. Last week I challenged you that if that is the case, if it is that we are to remain or to abide in Jesus and his life that come out of us, then really you and I have a goal each day, and that is to spend time with Jesus in his word, in prayer, and coming to him. And so then the question is, why then do we not spend time? Why is it that you, as a follower of Christ, would not spend time with him? And to answer this question, and if I was to go to the very just root of the issue here, it is because of pride. Your pride, my pride, whatever it is ultimately in the life, our life, it is whether we want to say it or whether we just show it with our lives. If you or I do not spend time with Jesus, it's because we are telling him, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. Now, throughout Scripture, we see that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, it is when you and I humbly become before him and say, I can't do this, that he gives grace. It is when, like Paul who says, when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, when he is weak, he runs to Jesus and abides in him. And through that weakness, strength comes, because it's the strength and courage and boldness of Jesus. We're going to see that as we dive into Scripture. And so the reason why we don't spend time with him is ultimately because we don't know him like we should. Think about it. There is not one thing that you will learn about God that you will not love. There is not one thing that you will learn from his word or through experience or his faithfulness that will not point you or make you want to know him all that much more. So Lindsay and I have been married since June 7th, 2003. Is that right? Okay. 18 years we just celebrated in June, and I loved Lindsay when I asked her to marry me. I mean, I did. But I'll tell you now, throughout the years, I love her even more. It's because I've got to see her now as a mom. I've got to see her as a disciple maker. I've got to see her as a wife and just as a follower of Christ. And she's not perfect, really, far from it. But I love her all the more because I've gotten to know her more. And it's the same with our God. Now think about this. Let's just say, going back in 2003, let's say that I got down on a knee in front of her and I said, okay, will you marry me? And I want to tell you, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to spend an hour and a half with you each week. Unless there's a ball game or something else that I want to go to, right? And I am going to talk to you, and especially when I need something. I'm going to come and I'm going to ask you because I really need something. And then if it's something, you know, really bad, like I really need it, I'm even going to ask others to also ask you to give it to me. I mean, that would be very foolish, right? I would never, no guy would ever get down on a knee and say that to their potential spouse, at least in striking distance, right? I would never do that. But yet, in this relationship, and I just want to tell you, that's what he's called us to. It is a relationship. And we see Jesus modeled that as he had this intimate relationship with his Father. Regardless of what's going on, spending time with him. You and I, in this relationship with Jesus, we will get to know him. And the more we get to know him, the more we will love him because he is faithful. He is good. He is all-powerful. He has all authority. He heals. He restores. He forgives. He is God Almighty. Amen? Amen. And so what that will do is it will drive us to spend more time with him. Now listen, there are struggles in this life, and we're going to talk some about that. Some that are just consequences of actions, others that have happened to us. But either way, they should draw us and bring us to be even that much more connected with him because that is where our hope comes from. And so, you guys excited yet? All right, let's dive in. If you have your Bibles, we are going to start in chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1. Just in honor, because this is God's word, if you don't mind, stand as we read the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Father, as we have read your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Open our eyes to see things that we otherwise would not see and cannot see. We pray right now that lives would be changed, our life. Lord, I pray that my life is changed because of what is spoken today. God, we need you. Speak to our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Today what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the role of the Father or the vine dresser here in the Scripture. The vine dresser is a word ultimately just means farmer, the one who is taking care of the crop. And so the vine dresser has some roles. Last week we looked at Jesus, the true vine. We also see that there are the branches, which is you and I. There are two different kinds of branches, those that bear fruit and those that do not bear fruit. And we'll see that the Father's role in those are different. And so the first thing, if you're taking notes, is we see that God's role, the vine dresser, is God takes away or lifts up. I say or because of this word that is in the original language for he takes away in verse 2. If you would look at it with me, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So it could be like this: every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, if he takes it away, then we would assume, and if you see it this way, then also in verse 6 where it says, every branches that do not abide in me also are gathered and thrown into the fire. And so if that's the case, then that's what that would mean. And so there are three possible interpretations of this takes away, and we're going to look at them real quick. The word in the original language that is used is the word iro. And here's the definition: to take up, to move from its place, to remove, to carry off, to carry away, to raise up, to elevate, lift up, or to raise from the ground. So according to this definition, there are really three ways that this word could be used. It could be to carry away or to hold, or it could be to lift up. And so in the context of the scripture, I want to look at the three different possibilities of how this word is used. The first one, again, is the way that most translate it as takes away, which this could be believers or people who have experienced God or Jesus in their life, but are not true believers. Now, this would make sense because they just have the context of Judas, right? Judas was among them. He even carried the money. He was one of the ones in which Jesus chose and followed them, was there, saw all the miracles, but yet turned away. And so, here he was, had experienced this, but did not and was not a believer. Caleb, who was baptized, has this similar testimony. He was raised in church, went to church his whole life, even had a time in which he would have said, yes, I am a part of Jesus. I have given my life to him, but yet was not. And so, if that's the case, then it would be that God, because he wasn't really a part of him, came and took him away. A second interpretation of this could be that this is someone who is a Christian but has lost their salvation. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but just in case this is a teaching that you have had growing up, is that someone can lose their salvation, I just want to say a couple of things that may help. The first one is this, is that if, according to Ephesians, if we do nothing to earn our salvation, how is it then that I can do something to lose it? In other words, if it is completely by faith alone in Jesus and what he has done for me, then why then would it be dependent upon me to keep it? A couple of verses just to say in John 6, 37 through 40, it says, I will not cast anyone out. In John 10, 27 and following, it says, we will never perish, or no one will ever be able to snatch you out of my hand. In Romans 8, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so, just a statement to help us is, my security and your security in Christ does not rest on my faithfulness to him, but on his faithfulness to me. Amen? Look at what he has done. It's all about what he has done, not what I have done. And so just in helping you to understand that. I will say that I do think that there are many people who may have given their lives to him, but just are not mature. And so because of that, their branch may not be really fruitful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Like, in other words, I think that there may be some who are only saved from the fire, just barely. You know what I'm saying? Only because of Jesus. They may not have anything. Their works will be burned up because they're not led or empowered by God, but yet they will escape the flame. See what I'm saying? So there may be some who escape but just not be very fruitful in the midst. And so a third possible interpretation of this is that these are believers who have a season in which there is not much fruit. Now, going back to this picture of the vine, If this is, and this would be the word that is used, and it could be lift up. So if it is read that way, then it would be read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. In a book I was reading talking about these verses, it was a guy who interviewed the owner of a vineyard. And I want you to listen to what he said. New branches have a natural tendency to trail down and grow along the ground, but they do not bear fruit down there. When branches grow along the ground, the leaves get coated in dust. When it rains, they got muddy and mildewed. The branch becomes sick and useless. What do you do? I ask. Cut it off and throw it away? Oh no, he exclaimed. The branch is much too valuable for that. We go through the vineyard with a bucket of water looking for those branches. We lift them up and wash them off. Then we wrap them around the trellis or tie them up. Pretty soon, they're thriving. Now listen to this. He's saying that the branches many times will grow and they'll grow along the ground and they'll get muddy and dusty. And he says, so what do? Do you cut them off? And he goes, oh no, they're much too valuable. So what we do is we clean them off. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We clean them off and we lift them up or tie them in the trellis to where then they're able to grow. And he says, pretty soon they thrive. Now listen, I will be just blunt honest with you. I have no idea which one Jesus meant in this. If he meant that the Father comes and takes away, listen, that's clear throughout Scripture that you will know them by their fruit. In Matthew 7, Jesus in his parable, he says, it's the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying, listen, you will know them by their fruit. And he's talking about false prophets here, but he says, a good tree will bear good fruit, and a bad tree will bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. You will know them by their fruit. So many would say that as a Christian, every one of us will bear fruit, and you will know whether or not you are a true follower based upon that fruit. That's clearly seen in Scripture. So I can truly believe that God would come and take away those who do not bear fruit, because that is clear, and that may even be someone here. You may have lived your life and called yourselves a Christian, but listen, there is no fruit. And I want to tell you that because there is no fruit, there is little confidence you can put in your faith in God. Because listen, I want to tell you that in that same area of Scripture, just following that comes to verse 21 where he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, did I not prophesy in your name or in your name drive out demons? And listen, these are people who have their list of things that they have done. If we're not careful, we'll have our own list of things we've done. I went to church. I went down forward. I said some prayer. I just so you know, that prayer that we have people pray isn't even found in Scripture. I just want to lay that out there right now. We come with our list of things. Well, we have our list. But again, we are not saved based upon our works. It is only faith in Jesus. Because you want to hear what Jesus said to those who had their list of things? They were really churchy things like casting out demons and performing mighty miracles. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. That's scary. As a pastor, I just want to be honest with you. That's one of the scariest verses in Scripture because that means that it is very possible for someone who claims to be a believer to come to church week after week, spend their whole life being a good person in this world, and stand before God one day and he say, depart from me, I never knew you, and become like this branch that is gathered and thrown into the fire and will spend eternity separated from him. That scares me to death. And I say that because that could be you. And so when Jesus is saying, abide in me, hold on to me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen, pride says, I've got this. But we don't. I mean, the very best that we try to bring, the very best thing that we can write down on any list is as filthy rags. waste. Get it out of my house. That's the very best we have to offer, God. And so he says, abide in me. And so now listen. So whether or not you are one who is not bearing fruit and God is going to come and he takes you away, or you are a Christian, someone who has given your life to him, but there right now is just a season where you are struggling and so there's not very fruitful, whatever it is, and God is going to come and lift you up. And now listen, I can see that one too. Because Jesus shared some parables, one of the lost coin. There was a coin that was lost, and what did the owner do? He tore his house apart looking for that coin. What a great rejoicing that happened when it was found. Or the lost sheep, where they left the 99 to go for the one, and when it was found, rejoicing. Or the lost son, the one who ran off and squandered it all for the things of this world, but when he came, the father ran out, hugged his neck, clothed him with the finest robe and ring on his finger. Listen, I want to tell you, if you are struggling right now, and listen, there are struggles in this life, I'll be the first to tell you. If you're struggling either of your own consequences of action or something that has happened to you, listen, there's great wickedness in this world. I want to tell you, we have a Father who loves you, who comes to you, will clean you off, will lift you up, will welcome you, and so we should run to him. Because when we are weak, then we're strong. But no, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the sin that has tainted me. No. When we are weak, then we're strong. You don't understand how dirty I am. Listen, he's forgiven us. He went to the cross. It's been paid for on the cross. He makes us new. We understand whose we are. Forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead, the upward call of God. Second role that God has is not for the branches that do not bear fruit, but for the branches that bear fruit. What does he do? He prunes. Second thing is God prunes. Pruning does just not sound fun, right? I mean, when I think of pruning, I think of cutting. I think of taking away the things that are there. I mean, it just does not sound fun, but it is needed. I love the picture of Hebrews, I believe it's 12, where he says to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race marked out for us. I mean, some of us are trying to run this race that God has for us, and man, we've got all sorts of baggage on us. It's time to lay that aside. Those things that we need to lay aside, it says, and the sin. So the things that lay aside aren't necessarily sin. It may be good things, but it's still things we're not supposed to be bearing. Things that we lay aside could be the busyness of this life. It could be the struggles that we've held on to. It could be unforgiveness. It could be anything. But it weighs us down from being able to run forward the race that he has for us. And so he says, and he comes and he says, lay it down. Now, there's definitely sin, always. So as we spend time with him, like a mirror, this word of God is going to show us the things in our lives that aren't there or shouldn't be there. And in those times, we conform not to what we think is best, but to what he tells us is best. And we allow him to strip those things away and prune them. Now, pruning also comes with discipline. Some of us, myself included, sometimes he disciplines us just like you or as a good father or mother would discipline your own kids. He is a good father, and he will discipline us. Why? So that we can bear more fruit. Are there some kids in here that normally, like if you're from ages, I don't know, up to what goes back there? Fourth grade, fifth grade? What goes back there, Sherry, usually? That's not in. Huh? Through fifth grade. Raise your hand if you're fifth grade or younger. All right. See, this right here, you ready? Can you catch it? Oh, so close. He does these things in our lives so that we can bear more fruit and so that we can impact others. Got it? And in bearing more fruit, we do so that people can see. Oh, got it. So that people can see in us Jesus. Oh, She knew. Mom knew. She tried to catch it. You ready? You got it? Oh, they're clean, okay? I promise. Good job. So, I'll come over. I'll get you. So, God has called us that when we have this fruit, the purpose is that the life of the vine, Jesus, comes out of the branch to bear fruit, and that in bearing fruit, we share it with others, just as I'm doing right here. Okay? It's always better to share. Oh, good catch right there. Of course, it's my kid that drops it. It's so that we can share it with others. Over the next couple of weeks, we are going to... You ready? I tried to let Daddy help right there, and he dropped it too. Oh! All right. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at three words that are going to help us to understand what God has for us. Remember, we're letting the life of Jesus live in and through us. So our lives should look like Jesus. Jesus focused on three different relationships throughout the Gospels. We could literally put any of the parables, stories into one of these three boxes of relationship. The first one is Him and the Father. And with Him and the Father, it is this word that we're going to use, we've been talking about, as abide. The next thing that we see is that Jesus had a relationship with the disciples. And so a word we're going to use for that is connect. We should be connected to each other. And then ultimately, Jesus had a relationship with those far from God. He shared about the kingdom. He shared about where life would come from. And so in the same way, you and I are to share what God has done in our lives, just like I shared this fruit. And if you didn't get one, kids, I see you over there. If you didn't get one, as soon as we're over, you come grab one right there, okay? Sound good? You want to come right now? Come on, come on, come on and get one. All right, anyone else, if you didn't get one and you want to, you come grab a grape real quick. You want to too? I think you can catch. Oh, yeah. You ready? Oh, I think I hit Janelle in the head. Sorry, Janelle. All right, good job, guys. Oh, wait, wait, it has to be this one. I'm sorry, those are fake. Those are fake over there. Yeah, I know. I wish I could say all fruit that comes out is real, but here, grab one of these. Good job. Sometimes we can fake it too, right? All right, let me find out where we're at here. All right, God prunes. Let's go. We're almost done. In pruning, it comes a discipline, and it comes through the struggles of... All right, you, come on, come on, come on, come on. Good job. Good job. All right, and I think this is tall over here, so which one do you want? Get that big, juicy one right there. That's good. There you go. All right. Here, hold on. Oh, yeah. Big step. Good job. All right. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8, and 9, this is what Paul says. And I want you to, don't miss this. This is so good. Follow along. 2 Corinthians 1, 8, and 9, he's talking about the affliction or the, she found her dad. That's good. Good job. Are you ready? Here we go. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. He's talking about the persecution that he experienced as he was allowing Jesus to live through him. Man, I mean, I'm talking beatings. I'm talking stone. I mean, I'm talking he had affliction. And listen to what he says about it. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Now listen, we face some things in life. Many of us, even in this room, have experienced some things that we didn't know that we were going to get through it. Okay? But have we been to that point where we thought, okay, because of my pursuit of Jesus, I may die? And maybe, I mean, if that's you, I would love to hear your story. But listen to what he says. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. We're going to experience some stuff. I mean, there are storms of life. Actually, it were promised. And I think the way this world is going, it's probably only going to get worse. It is the fruit of your life that as you pursue Him in faith, that as you get through it, you'll be able to see that and proclaim to this world that He is God. I mean, think about it. Just in the way of praise and worship to Jesus, if you have gone through some hard things and on the other side of it, you've looked back and you've seen the hand of God and know that that is the only way you were able to get through it, just in the way of worship to Him, I want to see. Who is that? Have you experienced some things? Yeah. You look back. You know what that does? It builds our faith. This is why James can say, listen, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Now listen, in the midst of it, we're not going to be like, yes, I'm loving it, right? No, it's hard and it's difficult, but it's to remind us that I can't do this on my own. So I'm not going to trust in myself, but I'm going to trust in Him. And again, this can come in just loss. It can come in struggle. It can come in storms of this life. It can come in our own consequences, because everything, God will use in our lives, and it will be for our good. Ultimately, now, we're sitting here saying, this wicked thing that happened to me, you're going to say is for my good. I'm going to say that God may have not instructed it to happen, but He can definitely use it for His glory. If you will look to Him, if you will trust His promises, there will be a way in which He will be able to redeem even the worst of situations in your life. Now listen, what I've just described requires faith. There are all sorts of other religions. They can do religious acts. They can even be radical. We see that this week as someone blew up themselves and took several of their lives. Listen, it's possible to be radical, but what I'm telling you and pointing you to is a relationship with God that leads to power and boldness and love and courage and strength. In our Bible study this morning, we were reading in Revelations, closing out Revelations, and in chapter 21, we were reading, and it was just on down past where you were instructed to read, but it was talking about who was going to be welcomed in, and it was talking about those who endured, those who were courageous is the word that he used. And then it said, in describing the people that would be cast out, it was the cowardly. Man, that hit me hard. Because there are times, if I'm honest, then I cowardly fall when he is calling me to do something in boldness. You mean I can be labeled with those who will be cast into the pit of hell? Listen, I don't want to be cowardly. As Paul is talking here, we faced some affliction. We thought that we were going to die, but you know what it did? It helped me not to think about me, but to put my trust and hope in Him. And in the same way, no matter what we face in this world, we need to put our hope and our trust in a Jesus who is strong when we are weak. Amen? And so, the goal. Our goal is to know and abide in Him. As we get to know Him more, we will love Him. And as we love Him, we'll want to spend more time with Him. And again, the only reason why we wouldn't is because of pride. Pride says, I can do this on my own. So we humbly come to Him. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the who? The humble. In all humility, we come before God and say, God, I can't do this. That goes against everything our culture says. Culture says you can do it. You can be anybody who you want. But yet, biblically, we are called to trust in the One who can always. So we humbly come before Him, and He gives grace to the humble. So, application, are you ready? Will you seek to abide with Jesus in everything that you do and say? This week, will you seek to abide in Him? And what that's going to look like is you're going to spend time with Him. Now listen, last week I gave you a devotional guide that would help you this week. And now listen, if you grabbed one and didn't use you, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. Grab another one. Listen, there is no shame. No shame or guilt. But what I'm saying is go spend time with Him. Okay? There will be others. You'll have another opportunity to grab one. I think we'll probably have 5 weeks of it. So each week you'll get the next one. And we keep doing that. Just make sure you come back to get the next one. Okay? But make sure you grab it. if you don't use it, if you have your own time with the Lord, do that. Listen, I'm not saying everyone needs to do this, but spend time with him. Make sure you abide in Jesus. Second thing, will you acknowledge God's hand in the pruning? As you spend time with him, he's going to show you some things in your life. Maybe it's the way you talk. Maybe it's the way that you interact with people. Maybe it's the way you think of people. Maybe it's the way that you haven't forgiven. Whatever, allow him to prune. Allow him to strip away and aside the things that you've been holding on to, or it's kept you from moving forward. But acknowledge him in that. It may look like discipline. Maybe you've done something and it's all for the purpose that you would bear more fruit, right? Number three, acknowledge how you have allowed pride to keep you from abiding with Jesus. Acknowledge how you have had the attitude of, I can do this. And so you haven't ran to him. You haven't spent time with him. And then the last thing is, will you say yes to Jesus? Maybe you have come to church and you have associated with Jesus. Maybe you have even claimed to be a follower of him. And you would say, if I died, you know, I'm good. But I just want to tell you, every single one of us here are sinners, filthy sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even as I have given my life to Christ, I am still capable of sinning just like anyone in this world. Now listen, I want to tell you that because of Jesus, I now have the power not to. And so that is the faith step. We must have faith in Jesus as we come. But listen, every one of us are sinners. And because of that, we deserve, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve, just like this branch will be gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. We deserve that. You deserve that. But what God did was he sent Jesus, his son, to come and to die in your place. And he says that if you will believe in what he has done, believe that he died for your sin, like in your place. You were the one that deserved to die. If you would believe in him, that he was buried and rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death, is God in the flesh, that you will be saved. More than that, though, you will be made brand new, and that you will be able to have a relationship with God. You know, we talk of heaven one day that we'll get to experience all that is there, and listen, I believe heaven's going to be great, but the only reason why heaven is going to be great is because God is there. That's it. We get to walk with God even right now. Will you trust him? Will you say yes to Jesus? Now listen, pride, remember, pride says, I can do this on my own. Pride says, I'm good. Pride says, what will they think? Pride says that I've been going to church for forever. Listen, God opposes the proud, so you just put that pride away, but gives grace to the humble. We need his grace. You humble yourself. If you need to say yes to him, then you come. And I just want to tell you, you don't need a pastor to give your life to the Lord. He hears you right now. You can bow right where you are at, and you can talk to him. There's no certain words that you say. You know what he calls? He says to repent, which means to turn from your life of sin and trust and believe and put your faith in Jesus and what he has done. And so then you pursue him. And tomorrow it's going to be hard, and you pursue him then. And you continue in this life to have this relationship and call to him and pursue him. And listen, he miraculously makes you new. Trust him. But I will tell you, we are not to be silent about it. We are to make him known and not be ashamed of him. And so I would love, just in the way of encouragement, just in the way of being able to encourage you and your in following him, I would love to know if you've given your life to him. I'm going to have a few people up here who would love just to pray for you. And so, Judd and Sherry, will you both come up here? Lindsay, will you, if you don't mind? Listen, there is nothing special about these people. For me. But I believe that the one in which we call to in prayer, he is powerful and can do anything. Do you hear what Paul said? He says, all this has happened so I wouldn't trust in me, but I would trust in him who raises the dead. He is all powerful. He has all authority. Whatever it is that you are going through right now, he is still God and is still upon the throne. All that's happening in Afghanistan, listen, we have a God that is on the throne, and we need to be praying to him and for them. So lead and guide him. The Father's role, if he's to lift up, if he is to take away those who are not true believers, that day will come. If he is to lift up and encourage so that you can bear fruit, then that is today, right now, trusting. If you have not and do not abide in him, you don't know him, you haven't yet given your life to him, then today is the day of salvation. You call to him. Turn from your sin. Put your faith and trust in what he has done. He says he will make you new. Let's get before him. Father, we are so thankful for who you are. I pray right now that you would help us to humbly come before you, to lay down our pride, to lay down our worry of what people would think or our worry of trying to please others, and instead we would know that you are the one, you alone is who we will stand before one day. And so God, I pray that we would turn from our sin, that we would put our trust in you and abide in you and allow you to prune, allow you to get rid of the things that do not honor you in our life. God, lead and guide us. Help us to serve you in what we say and what we do. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.